Okay, so I'm presenting here on behalf of Dr. Craig Hardner, who's been working on what I'm going to be presenting here for the last maybe 3 or 4 years as part of the Rosebreed Project. And then in the last perhaps year or so has then been talking with Dori and Silk and Tayin about how this could be incorporated into BIMS. So my understanding and my role in this, what I'll be presenting here, this concept, has been to the extent of understanding it enough so that we put it into the Rosebreed 2 project, and Craig's been working on it. And then keeping up to date with Craig as he's been making advances on that, and every now and then presenting things like this where I give a summary of it, particularly when Craig can't make it. Okay, so extending the triple breeding information management system to combine international data for global performance predictions. So global performance predictions is the phrase that this is all about. So just an overview of what I'll be talking about here is, and not necessarily these sections, but the overall concept is that it's a proposed new tool for BIMS, perhaps into I think the idea is into the future for the next round. And it's about predicting performance, particularly for new cultivars, also selections, but new cultivars that are developed on a global scale. And it leverages historical performance data as well as ongoing performance data that continually is collected and has been collected a lot. There's a lot more that we can get out of that information. And it also takes advantage of shared ancestry that a lot of the material has, or everything really has it, in any of these crops. And we use SNP array data for that. And it's a concept that has been proven so far for cherry, peach, and apple, and I'll give a couple of examples of some of the results of those. So I forgot to push that button to get that little thing going. This is Craig. Craig came up with that. It's pretty cool. I like it a lot. Okay, so it's important that this is not just a new concept that, hey, how about this? But it is quite similar, this particular concept, to what's done in animal and human genetics in certain circles there. So Craig wanted to make sure that point is out there. And of course, it's a quantitative genetics-based thing. That's what's underlying this, or statistical genetics. And for our types of crops, for these clonally propagated ones particularly, that are only so many generations away from each other, all connected up, you know, there's so much that we can learn from human and animal genetics, and so it's not surprising that some of the best stuff we get are from those other organisms. So overall concept here, or the great opportunity that we have is, you know, we've got this global scale of production, because most rosaceous crops are grown globally, but breeding programs are conducted regionally usually, and so the idea is that a breeding program would develop cultivars that would serve the regional crop industry. And so consideration of new cultivars coming out of breeding programs for how they might perform in other regions is usually done ad hoc. I was just going to say it always is, but usually, you know, some breeding programs are a bit more systematic in the way they go about deploying cultivars into other regions, but still, it's an extra step, and the trialing needs to be done at those other locations. So what it ends up meaning is that there's little replication of germplasm among regions of possible deployment of new cultivars. And so that gives limited confidence in the performance of a new cultivar elsewhere. You know, how might this new cultivar that a breeder's just come up with, how might that perform somewhere else? Well, you don't really know. Can guess, and of course go into trialing for it. So a couple of slides now on the underlying method that's proposed here. So one of the components of that. So one is that it relies on the estimation of realized relationships via SNPs. So it uses genomic prediction models, again this is quantitative genetics, to connect performance data that has already been collected and can be collected as we build up these databases from different environments. And by environments, and when I use that over the next several slides, can mean locations, particular growing conditions, also ways of measuring. I'll show a little table of what that means shortly, but it's those different ways of having trials. So essentially what it does is track shared chromosome segments, and we can track those now. We can identify those now via genome-wide SNP data, and particularly for the crops that I'm talking about here, for apple and cherry and peach, and then getting into strawberry. So, for example, just some example looks there that we have. So you might have three individuals from location one, and another three I've got down in location two. The way Craig actually put this together is A and B, or D and E could be offspring of A and B, and F could be an offspring of B and C. But I made it a bit more generic. I took away some arrows that he had there, because it doesn't really matter. The point is that they share these shared extended parts of their genomes there. And so then you can do a cluster analysis, such as what's on the right there, and see that there's a particular pattern to how these all come together. But also in particular regions of the genome, there's not just a pattern, an overall quantitative pattern, but there's actual parts of the genome that they share, and these all attract and are part of what's underlying the analyses here. Data has to be collated, so that's the second major component of the method here. So it's obtained from collaborators, users, whatever. It's collaborators so far, people that are getting into this from the proof of concept point of view. And so this is historical data, as I was saying, as well as ongoing phenotypic data that can continue to be collected over the years. We collect, it needs to be also identified in how that was measured, and information on the environment, so the location, the growing conditions as well, comes along as the metadata for this. And information also needs to be collected on, incorporated in here on the germplasm individuals themselves. So what are they, which can be coded. It doesn't have to be doesn't even need the real name of things. Anything could be made up, that's all fine. The point is, what represents those are their SNP profiles and their uniqueness. And the database, the idea is that it's secure, and so far it is, and what's been all put together. And the data is not shared among collaborators. It's the output that a user gets, but the data itself, you know, resides inside the database. And the third major component of the method here is that it's a multivariate analysis, Craig tells me. So so this is what's used to predict the performance in the different environments, and each trait by location then is treated as a unique dimension in a G by E covariance matrix, and yeah, I take his word for that. But you can see in the table here, if we have, it's just an example I've got for apple here, we have collected this is real information here, and so it's collected across a bunch of locations across the world, all these trials that have collected data and contributed this data. It's for acidity in this case. You can see it's measured in the fourth column there in various ways, with various units. And so, yeah, each one of those gets its own trait by location identity. But all of this can be combined and can all be used to then predict the performance of an individual in one of those other locations. When it's from one of them, we can predict out into the others. A quick slide here on proof of concept for cherry. We first moved ahead on this, or Craig did anyway, for cherry. In this case, we've got, and the way I'll show it here is we've got several locations, four locations. We've got two in France, one in Italy there, and one in the US. And these are trials. The data was collected from all of these with the great collaborators, put all that together. It was described in the talk and / paper, I think it's paper there, that's indicated up the top there. There are some individuals in common, which, I mean, there's five in total that are common across all of them, right? That's horrible for a normal trial. You know, how can you connect that up? Well, because they share all these little bits of DNA, and it doesn't matter about the five. I made that number a bit bigger, but it actually doesn't matter. That's not the point. They don't even need to share anything in common for this to work. So the proof of concept first was done on maturity timing. I was having a discussion with Craig last night about it. It doesn't really matter, actually, that this is highly correlated. From all the European, they were combined on the bottom there, the predicted maturity timing for cherry cultivars and tree selections, etc., seedlings. Their predicted maturity timing on the x-axis and for the European locations, and their predicted maturity timing in PROSA in Washington there is on the y-axis. Yeah, it doesn't matter so much that they're correlated. Really, that's just an indicator of the high heritability of this trait. But it's quite interesting anyway, because what then in this particular case it shows with this very high correlation is that the environments are quite similar. And that's really useful for someone wanting to deploy an individual in another location to know. So that's how it just happens to be how it is for cherry maturity timing. So with the green line I've got, we've got showing there, it could show a particular seedling that may become a selection. It says Washington seedling 1-3. We can see, predict how it performs in PROSA, and we probably would have some phenotypic data on how it performs in PROSA, but now we can also predict how that would perform in one or more other locations, particular locations. In this case, because of the high correlation between the two traits, it's pretty much going to have the same plus 10 basically maturity timing there. A couple of challenges, major challenges that have come up so far, so the collation of data. So yes, standardizing, extremely important, which needs to be done. So far things have been coming in all sorts of ways. So yeah, getting these initial databases together, there's been various formats that Craig and his group have had fun with, lots of synonyms and various levels of quality control from the different locations, various times, so it hasn't all come in at the same time. And so this has required a lot of careful attention to data curation. So when we can set up the templates and standardize this in the future, it'll make this part a whole lot easier, as it has been for all the genomics data, etc., over the last decade or more. Very important aspect. Another major challenge has been in combining data across genotyping platforms. And the example here that Craig likes to talk about is the SNP data that's coming in for Apple. So it's come from various SNP arrays. We've got an 8K array, we've got a 20K array, there's even a 480K array out there for Apple. It's pretty awesome. And then there's NCBI reads as well. And so there's only certain subsets of those that are in common with each other. And yet this has been collected from this trial, the 8K on this material and the 20K on this material, and they're not necessarily complete subsets of the other. So the 8K is not really a complete subset of the 20K. So there's only 3,000 markers there. 3,000 of the SNPs in the 8K are in common with the 20K, etc. So the combining all these together, how to combine all these together has been the concern. And so one of the collaborators we've had on this, Ben Hayes, a quantitative geneticist, genomic selection guy, works on cattle, as well as we're getting roping him into working on our crops too. But he recommended this approach that they used there, or they used. And so what we are planning to do is resequence the full range of SNP diversity and then impute across the platforms. And so towards that end, this is Apple here. This is the PCA of the SNP diversity that we get. And the ones that are the red dots there, those are the individuals that have already been resequenced. But we can see there in that plot that there are some gaps there that we need to fill to help pull up the full SNP diversity that we have so that we can more readily impute across the various platforms there. On to benefits. So there's the major one is the improved accuracy of predictions. So this is some work that Craig has published recently in Eucalyptus, but just showing that when you have more and more and more data together, so it's not when you have more and more data together, you get a reduced standard errors of prediction, right? So you get more accurate predictions coming out of it. So that is really the underlying point of this concept of bringing all the data together. So the more data, the better. When you put these larger and larger trials together, usually in the past you think you can't put trials together because they don't share individuals. Well, yes, we can, because they share all these bits of alleles, SNP alleles and chromosome segments. So we can make this happen now. We can use the output of this approach to understand G by E by M, and here's results that have come out from doing this in Peach. So this is also real data now on Peach. And four locations in the US of Peach trials there from the Rosebery Project. So California, Texas, Arkansas, and South Carolina. and there are multiple years of phenotypic data that's been collected for each of those locations, and we can look at the structure of the relative similarities there, the predicted performance among those environments, and look at that and really going, okay, that's the structure of it. Okay, what's going on there? So we can start to wonder about why are these, like Arkansas and South Carolina, why are they acting similar? Why are they eliciting similar performance across the germplasm? And then Texas and California is also, they're quite closely related to each other as well. And then within and across years, we can look at that also. So we can wonder about this, we can come up with hypotheses then, great for science, and test these, and ultimately exploit these as well. And predicting locally bred genotypes, genetic variation, how that's going to perform in new environments. That was the concept I keep saying. So an example here, we've got Washington bred new cultivar WA38 or Cosmic Crisp. We can wonder how would that perform elsewhere. Okay, so what happens? That SNP profile then gets entered into the database, and then the idea is that the breeder, or whoever wants to make money out of this particular cultivar, then can get predictions of how it would perform in other locations that have also got data that has been entered into the database. So the more locations, the more growing conditions, the more ways of measuring, etc., that are in the database, the more the predictions can be extrapolated out to all those other conditions as well, those other rootstocks, those training systems, whatever it happens to be. The output in each case is only for the own germplasm that is put in by the user, as well as anything that's public. And we're moving ahead on this for apple, peach, cherry, and I heard Nala is also helping to put that together for strawberry as well. In BIMS, will be the place that it would sit, right, over in the there's global performance predictions on that particular page, which is the breeding decisions tool, that part of the menu down the bottom there. So a tool that would then allow all this to happen. So any data set, the user would choose the data set that's in their BIMS program and use it to predict how their germplasm will perform in new environments or other environments. A bunch of collaborators that have been part of this so far and conceptual advances, as well as providing all the data, lots of folks there, so really have been moving ahead on this. A lot of people involved from all over the world. You saw a lot of locations that I was showing earlier. And so, in summary, we've got global performance predictions support improved confidence for global deployment of new cultivars and also selections, and there's some additional benefits that can come out of it as well. And there's some challenges there in getting all that data together, standardizing that, and a lot of people joined so far, and the plan is to incorporate this into BIMS if it continues to seem exciting to everybody. And thanks to NIFA for the and Hatch Funds for the funding this particular project, the NRSP10.